Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, August 5th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, the war on self-sufficiency intensifies as the feds shut down a seed library in Pennsylvania. And why are U.S. health authorities concealing the number of suspected Ebola victims from the public? Plus, illegal aliens are a no-show for immigration court proceedings. Say it isn't so. All that plus much more tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News.
In an apparent attempt to avoid hysteria, U.S. health officials are avoiding letting the public know about potential Ebola cases.
I should point out as well, Wolf, that the hospital has, made this known. There have been about a half a dozen patients who have had their blood tested because of concern. Those particular patients, their stories were not made public. This patient was. I'm not sure if that's because of heightened concern by the hospital or what that means exactly. But again, we just can't say for sure. Until the final tests come back. And, they want to be sure on this. It takes about a day or so.
Now, Dr. Gupta also appeared to suggest that those patients that were being tested for Ebola are not being kept in isolation. The hospital says it's not concerned about this because Ebola is not an airborne virus. Now, as we reported yesterday, despite health authorities downplaying the likelihood of Ebola going airborne, studies by Canadian scientists suggest that this is, in fact, at least to a limited degree, possible. So the hospital is not concerned. However, the media is ramping up the Ebola fear porn. We've got Wolf Blitzer and CNN stationed right outside the hospital, salivating at the potentiality of there being an Ebola outbreak here in America. Why? Why are they ramping this up right now? We have 100,000 cases of Americans dying every single year in America from influenza. So why all of a sudden are they ramping up the fear over Ebola, something that has killed about 700 people this year in what is known as the deadliest outbreak of this disease on record? 700. So is it because Big Pharma is planning on rolling out a new Ebola vaccine they're going to force on all of us? Or is it to keep us in a perpetual state of fear? I am not quite sure. All I know is that this is what we reported on last Friday. This is what John Rappaport said we should be prepared for. Is the media really ramping up the fear surrounding this outbreak? Falling for it means you fall for the forced vaccinations as well as the martial law style roundup that is going to happen if they can get everyone in a state of fear of a potential carrier of Ebola. Now, the two Americans who are being treated for this disease that were transported from West Africa to America are being treated with an experimental vaccine. This one has so far only been treated on animals. ZMapp is a biotechnology drug, and it's produced with tobacco plants, and it appears to be working. Now, the FDA has not approved any drugs so far to treat Ebola, but these two American medical aid workers were able to give informed consent to take this experimental treatment. It's not scheduled for clinical trials until next year. So treatment for the two aid workers could take up to 3 weeks, so we'll just have to wait and see if this experimental vaccine is working. But it is good news. They say it does appear to be working. Ebola might not be this potential threat to America that they're really ramping it up to be, but the catch is if the healthcare workers who are treating these patients use meticulous care. And of course, that is where the danger lies, because we've reported before about how the CDC and these maximum security lab facilities have mishandled potential bioweapons in the past. So of course, there's always room for human error. But that's what this whole Ebola scare is all about, is distracting us. It's all about distraction, keeping everyone from talking about what's really going on. Everyone can talk about, the potential for an Ebola outbreak rather than focusing on the fact that our reps are on a 5-week vacation partying and fundraising while there's a potential national health threat as well as the borders are collapsing right before our very eyes. It's all just this tactic. We've seen it used over and over again, divide and conquer, distract us from talking about the real issues that actually affect our national interests and not, of course, political interests like the the war on women, right? The war on women. They had feminists all in a tizzy because Hobby Lobby only wanted to pay for 16 of the 20 required birth control there that is required through the Affordable Care Act. So feminists are going after Hobby Lobby and the boss doesn't want to pay for my birth control. Meanwhile, there's an actual war on women. In some countries, women are forced to have abortions. They're forced into female genital mutilation. Some women are not allowed to drive. In some countries, women are told not to laugh in public. That is the real war on women. Here with the globalists, this is, rather than having all these feminists go against that, they're going after Hobby Lobby. Now, Congressman Mo Brooks was also causing a little controversy this week. He's saying it's not just the whole racism meme and the war on women meme, but actually a war on whites. Now, he sparked this controversy, suggesting that the Obama administration and the Democratic Party are waging a war on whites as part of a strategy to divide voters on key issues.
This is a part of the war on whites that's being launched by the Democratic Party. And the way in which they're launching this war is by claiming that whites hate everybody else. It's a part of the strategy that Barack Obama implemented in 2008, continued in 2012, where he divides us all on race, on sex, greed, envy, class warfare. Illegal immigration hurts every single demographic group. It doesn't make any difference if you're a white American, a black American, a Hispanic American, an Asian American, or if you're a woman or a man.
And Brooks is absolutely right. Hispanic civil rights leader Cesar Chavez was actually very anti-illegal immigration because he knew that it would drive down wages. Now, Brooks went on to say that the left is going to try and turn immigration into a racial issue rather than a thoughtful issue. And of course, we should see even more of these race baiting tactics leading up to the election. Now, as this war on whites ramps up, it's really convincing young people and especially Dreamers, who are being very outspoken here pre-election, that whites are against them and the Republicans are the party of white people and that they are against them. And of course, this is causing the emotional reaction that the left really wants to see. Now, a dramatic exchange was caught on tape between anti-amnesty rep Steve King and an illegal immigrant who confronted him at a fundraiser. Now, this whole exchange was caught on tape. Here, the young lady is basically challenging King to rip up her DACA papers since he wants to get rid of her so bad. And she's really trying to get that exchange documented on camera of him ripping up her papers. Of course, he's not going to fall for it. The two young people in the video are very emotional, saying how they love America. They love this country. One says he even tried to join the army, but he wasn't allowed to. They're basically saying, you know, how can King be against them? Their parents brought them here. The young lady says her mom was fleeing from a violent relationship from her father, and she tried to enter the country legally, but she was denied entry into the U.S., and then so she came anyway with her children to protect her children. Now, King responds calmly to the young lady and asks, is it okay that she violates the law? And I'm really sorry that you come from a lawless country. I hope that you can have a happy life, but please do not erode the rule of law in America. And King goes on to say, they're here demanding that we change the laws. Why would you want to bring lawlessness to the United States of America? And that's the question they cannot answer. Why we would want to turn America into a third world country. Now, of course, that is the issue. A lot of people don't want to talk about that. If we open up the borders, what is going to happen here? We're going to turn into the third world country. Of course, that's what we were saying is, you know, with the Cloward and Piven strategy, basically what they would like to see happen. But that's what we're fighting against. It's not about sending home kids who have been in this country that America is all they've known. I don't think anyone, I mean, I'm sure there are some extremists out there that feel that way, but that's not the issue. We shouldn't even be talking about amnesty before we fix the situation at the border. It is truly a national security threat, having wide open borders and just letting anyone in. And of course, just talking about amnesty and allowing deferred adjudication is just encouraging even more people to, as quickly as they can, enter this country illegally. Now, if you need any more proof that this current border fix that's been proposed by the Obama administration to speed up the deportation process by bringing more judges into the border towns is a total joke, here, according to the Los Angeles Times, even though the Department of Justice has been pushing the unaccompanied alien children to the front of the line when it comes to immigration court proceedings, The children aren't showing up. In just one day at a Los Angeles immigration court last week, Judge Ashley Tabador heard the cases of nearly 40 illegal immigrant minors, but none of the children appeared in court. Now, in each case, the illegal immigrant minor was thought to have been resettled elsewhere. They were trying to find them sponsors, of course, and so the judge decided not to deport the children in absentia, instead issued a change of venue orders in each case for each of these 40 children. And we are seeing this over and over again. Children are quickly being transported into the interior. They're being sent on to other facilities, to their sponsors, to their family. And so they're having to issue change of venue orders in each case, which, of course, pushes the proceedings back months, sometimes even years, for each child. Now, in response to this large number of change of venue orders, ICE has implemented a new process by which officials will wait to be sure that these unaccompanied minors have been set up with a sponsor or 60 days has passed. And of course, they're going to be sending all of these juvenile cases to one specific central location. So it's just not a bureaucratic mess. But that's basically the issue here, is there's a huge backlog of cases. Now there are even more cases that are backlogged because this rule, this new process, just started in June. So all of the unaccompanied minors that came here prior to June are now kind of in this backlog, change of venue orders. Everyone's kind of trying to figure out where they are, where they're placed. So it really wasn't a fix to get the $3.7 billion in emergency funding that Obama requested last month to get all of these judges there to speed up the process, because of course, it's just a bureaucratic mess, a backlog. And again, this new process could take years per child to go ahead and fix the situation. Now, Congress, of course, denied giving Obama that $3.7 billion in emergency funding to fix the border. And perhaps that's because U.S. debt under Obama has ballooned to $17 trillion. That is $7 trillion more than it was when Obama took office. $7 trillion he has spent in a little more than 5 years. If you want to compare that, just to history, it took more than 223 years for the U.S. to accumulate its first $7 trillion in debt. Obama reached that, of course, in a little more than 5 years. In that same amount of time, George W. Bush had increased it by $2.7 trillion and Clinton by $1.3 trillion. So here's what Obama had to say about Bush's spending when he was on the campaign trail in 2008.
The problem is that the way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt. Number 43 added $4 trillion by his lonesome, so that we now have over $9 trillion of debt that we are going to have to pay back. $30,000 for every man, woman, and child. That's irresponsible. It's unpatriotic.
And now, of course, it is more than $55,000 for every man, woman, and child. That is unpatriotic. But you know what? Obama says just raise the debt ceiling. It doesn't actually raise the debt, you know, just like opening up the borders to anyone who wants to come in, whether or not they're going to add value to the economy, is going to be good for the economy. Right? Because anyone who can do math knows that, you know, $7 an hour isn't going to be enough to support yourself and your family. And of course, you're going to have to get a government handout. And that's good for the economy. That is really good for the economy. But you know what? Tell that to Tennessee. All of Tennessee's employment growth since 2000 has gone to immigrants. This is according to the Center for Immigration Studies. They've analyzed recent government data on employment, and their analysis shows that since 2000, all of the net increase in the number of working age people that are holding a job in Tennessee has gone to immigrants, both legal and illegal. Now, this is the case, even though the native born there in Tennessee accounted for 60% of the growth in the state's total working age population. So this is in response to a Gang of Eight immigration bill that was passed by the U.S. Senate last June. It would have roughly doubled the number of new foreign workers allowed into the country, as well as legalized illegal immigrants. Now, this is just one state alone that's showing that A, There is no shortage of workers. And B, Tennessee, which has one of the highest immigration population growth in the country in the last 14 years, yet the natives working there in 2014, the number of natives working there was actually lower than it was in the year 2000. So, of course, this undermines the argument that immigration, on balance, will increase job opportunities for America. Right? Because 2 + 2 = 5. We can do math here, right? Now, as we go to the break, we're going to get a quick update from Joe Biggs. He has joined the border convoy on their way to go and reclaim the borders.
I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com. Right now, we're driving down to San Antonio to an undisclosed location to meet up with the border convoy. They were essentially assaulted by a group of protesters in El Paso and then woken up at 4:30 in the morning yesterday by militias saying the cartel's coming after them. So we're going to go down here, talk to them, and finish off the rest of this convoy with them. Stay tuned for more updates. We're going to be covering this until Friday. Once again, I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com. All right, I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com here with codename Liberty Jane. She's one of the people running up the border convoy, and she's going to tell us about what happened in El Paso yesterday.
Okay, well, to start off, as we were coming through El Paso, we had actually made it a point to tell the media that we were not going to be doing the rally that was initially planned because there was a lot of threats of violence and things like that against the group. So basically what we were doing is we were going through El Paso to still document what was going on. The problem was, is as we came through El Paso, it was evident that they had spotters there with an intention of derailing the convoy. We had made a wrong turn, and as we had exited the freeway, we picked up a couple different vehicles that were looking to derail the convoy. They jumped in behind us. As we got back onto the 10 freeway, we were, I guess the best way to say it was intentionally blocked. We had one of the vehicles aggressively pass the vehicle that I was driving. So after a little bit of back and forth, we ended up exiting to the side of the freeway and ended up having a standoff with these individuals that resulted in shutting down the freeway for over 30 minutes as the police looked into the allegations that they had already planned to do this. And before they even met up with our vehicles, they had actually called the police and said that members of our convoy had been brandishing firearms at them. So we were released, obviously, because the good folks in the police department found out there was nothing really going on and that was just an allegation. So at that point, we went along on our way. And at that point, we were escorted out to Van Horn, Texas, for the location that we were going to be staying at that evening.
All right, there you have it. I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee. And it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com. This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here, an electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the Survival Silver Solution, the new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family, and it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water for your preparedness storage or your home kitchen. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
As I previously reported in Prison Planet of the Apes, SSRI and other psychological control drugs are used to control animals in zoos, but zookeepers don't want to talk about it. They're ashamed to talk about using drugs to control animal behavior. But psychologists brazenly and shamelessly use these same drugs to control humans. And even if you're not directly taking behavior control medications, they're being so widely prescribed that they're finding their way into the water. And water treatment for public water doesn't remove the drugs. But it's not just the zoo animals who are canaries in a coal mine. Fish and other aquatic animals are warning us about other pharmaceutical dangers in what we eat and drink. In a study published about 2 weeks ago, bass and suckerfish in three major Pennsylvania rivers were found to have testicular oocytes. In other words, the male fish had eggs in their testicles. At many test sites, it was 100% of the male fish with eggs in their testicles. These hermaphrodite fish are called intersex organisms. Even the Washington Post is reporting it now, so you can believe it. At first, she was surprised. Then she was disturbed. Now, she's a little alarmed. Each time a different batch of male fish with eggs in their testes showed up in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, Vicki Blazer's eyebrows arch a bit higher. Well, what's the cause? Their hormones, in other words, their endocrine system, has been disrupted by chemicals in the water. It's far more widespread than they expected. It's not just Pennsylvania. Studies have shown this happening in the Chesapeake Bay region, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, West Virginia, the Columbia, Colorado, and Mississippi rivers, and it's far more severe than they expected. And the severity was correlated with being found downstream from pollution sources. What are the pollution sources? Well, with the mutant bass, Blazer said, we keep seeing a correlation with the percent of agriculture in the watershed where we conduct a study. That's right. The chemicals came from agricultural runoff, from chemical fertilizers and manure. And get this, waste from human sewage. Think about that. Fish reproductive systems are being destroyed. Fish gender are being changed by chemicals. And those chemicals are coming from our food supply. They're chemicals that are being sprayed on our crops. They're chemicals that are being fed to the animals that we then eat. And they're chemicals that are found in our excrement that we've ingested. And the chemicals will have the same effect on us. The drop in Western fertility rates is not just a function of people making economic decisions about family size. These animals are warning us about our future.
Now, are you concerned about the invasive nature of pharmaceuticals or perhaps GMOs in your garden and in our food supply? Well, you might be racist, right? That's for all of you gardeners out there who might use the term invasive species or soil purity when discussing your garden. You might be a suppressed racist. This is, of course, according to senior lecturer Dr. Ben Pitcher, who accused hosts of a BBC Radio 4 Gardener's Question Time of promoting nationalist and fascist beliefs. Now, he is citing the crisis in white identity in multicultural Britain, basically saying that people who appear on the show, they can't express their bigoted political beliefs because they don't want anyone to call them a racist. So they have to express themselves and their racial identity in ways such as talking about gardening. Now, he said the distinction that gets made between native species and non-native species and this kind of policing of what belongs and what doesn't belong, I think it's symptomatic of a kind of desire to defend the fantasy of the national space. Of course, right? Because any gardener who is concerned about weeding out invasive species is a closet racist. I can't even believe this whole war on whites, this racist meme has now spread to gardening, of course. And if you had any doubts about this new agri-terror, the feds, they've shut down a seed library in Pennsylvania because this is the new terrorism, self-sufficiency. Basically, they shut down this library system, telling them they were in violation of the 2004 Seed Act, which regulates the selling of seeds. Now, this was under the justification of preventing the growth of invasive plant species, cross-pollination, and poisonous plants. So the feds are basically racist right now, shutting down this seed place because they didn't want any invasive plant species. Now, the library was, of course, attempting to encourage residents to learn more about growing their own food and acquiring key self-sufficiency skills by letting locals borrow seeds and then return them at the end of the growing season. But, you know, here in America, self-sufficiency is terrorism to the state, so they shut it down. Now, the Cumberland County Commissioner, Barbara Cross, she applauded the USDA's decision, warning that allowing residents to borrow seeds could have led to acts of agri-terrorism. Right. Now, one woman commented, gosh, this makes me wonder when they are going to crack down on all of those GMO fields with their grave concerns about cross-pollination. Look out, Monsanto. Oh, wait. This only applies to regular people growing regular vegetables. GMOs aren't considered an invasive species. And that is the America that we live in now. 2 + 2 = 4. You can't have your own seeds. You can't be part of a seed library. Monsanto can cross-pollinate all they want to. They're not in violation of the 2004 Seed Act. And, of course, they are now protected under the so-called Monsanto Protection Act, and there's nothing that you or I can really do about it. Well, thank you for tuning in to the show tonight, and if you like what you see here, please hop on over to PrisonPlanet.tv and become a member. You can get instant access to the Alex Jones Show, all of our special reports, the movies, the rants, and our ebooks, as well as all of our content right there. And you can share your username and password with up to 11 people at the same time. That is 11 people getting all of the information they need to fight the info war. Now, coming up right after this, we are going to be airing the full 40-minute interview with retired Marine Colonel Pete Martino. He has something to say about the Homeland Security See Something, Say Something campaign. He says that whole campaign prompted him to say something about what he sees as this extreme buildup of arms against the American people. City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water.
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Secure your fluoride shield at InfoWarsLife.com today. It was back in 2013, in August, or a little less than a year ago, that there was a video posted of a Marine Corps colonel, who's also an advisor to the Army, a veteran of the Iraq Wars, you name it, speaking out at a city council, warning them that military equipment and training was being prepositioned
around the country by Homeland Security, and it was pointed at the American people. Well, in the last year since he talked about that, we have seen thousands of headlines, literally dozens a week, like this one from the London Guardian, Pentagon preparing for mass civil unrest, social breakdown. Here's another one, the cost of the American police state. Battlefield USA, trillions in the last 20 years spent building up this giant domestic apparatus, hundreds of billions just the last 5 years. It is simply incredible. That's from the ACLU study. So we're really honored today to have Pete Martino in studio with us for this special report. We appreciate his courage because obviously the establishment has criticized him for talking about the 10 trillion pound elephant in the living room or the fact that the emperor is not wearing any clothes. He is a retired colonel in the U.S. Marine Corps Reserves now. He's commanded an infantry platoon, company, and battalion, and has been the senior U.S. advisor to an Iraqi army brigade. And he got a Bronze Star for some of the operations he was involved in Numania, Iraq. So after more than 10 months of trying to get him in studio, we've got Colonel Martino right here with us. Colonel, great to have you here with us.
Thanks, Alex. Just call me Pete. I'm a civilian now. Well, one of the things I'd like to say, first off, is I had a very highly educated Iraqi tell me one time that the way to solve the IED problem over there was first time you have an attack, take a look around, find the closest house, go knock on the door, tell those folks you got 1 hour to pack and get out and then blow up their house. And the logic there is next time, pay attention to what goes on in front of your house. And I think that's the mindset in a lot of the world. And one of the messages I think that should come out of that to the American people is the reason so many people in the world want to kill us is because we need to pay attention to what's going on in our own house. And when it comes to these bearcats and this issue, to be honest with you, I really don't have a problem with the police having bearcats, if it's to keep me safe and to keep police officers safe. In fact, I know about a dozen police officers personally in New Hampshire who, if they were the ones holding the key, they could park it in my driveway and I'd sleep better at night. But the reality is, I don't know all the people who have the keys to those bearcats. And the thing that concerned me in Concord last year was that the chief of police justified on his grant application for that bearcat as one of the reasons was to deal with the daily challenges of the Free State Project. Now, the Free State Project is just a group of liberty-minded individuals, activists, who are trying to get 20,000 people, activists, to move to New Hampshire because it's a small state and try to restore liberty there and return to constitutional government. About a dozen of them are already state representatives there.
And they're saying we need armored vehicles that have been used in Iraq because the Free State Project peacefully and politically, their symbol's the porcupine, doesn't attack anybody, but it'll defend itself, want to try to vote for more freedom, so we need armored vehicles.
Exactly, and I think some of them are a little bit out there as far as some of their tactics. I know some of them are out there maybe ticking off a lot of the police, and I think they should knock it off because it's not the police that are really the problem. It's some of the leadership, and it's the laws themselves. One of the Free State Project members actually reminded everybody that New Hampshire has an open carry law. And he reminded everybody by walking down the street in Manchester, New Hampshire, downtown, and was stopped by the police and detained for a while until finally people realized that it's not an illegal act to walk down the street open carrying. And since then, now you can see people open carrying. So if we don't remind people of our freedoms, people forget we have them.
And I agree. That's the cutting edge of the true civil rights movement is open carry and things like that because a right not exercised is dead. But Colonel, I want to go back to that city council meeting and play a few clips right now.
What's happening here is we're building a domestic military because it's unlawful or unconstitutional to use American troops on American soil. So what we're doing is we're building a military. My best friend, who's a SWAT officer in Nashua, who came to Iraq with me to train the Iraqi police, sent me an email with a picture of him in the media on the streets of Watertown, Mass, wearing the exact same combat gear that we had in Iraq, only it was a different color. And what the way we do things in the military is called task organization. You take a command, and then you attach units to it in order to accomplish the mission. What's happening is Homeland Security is pre-staging gear, equipment, consistent. And so what we're doing here, and let's not kid about it, we're building a domestic army and we're shrinking the military because the government is afraid of its own citizens. We're building an army over here, and I can't believe that people aren't seeing it. Is everybody blind? That's all. I'll take that.
I understand, though, your point about not blaming the police individually or the military individually. I found police and military are some of the most awake, pro-liberty people out there because they know what's going on the inside. But undoubtedly now, they say that Homeland Security is not for Al-Qaeda that you fought in Iraq. It's for the Tea Party, for veterans, for gun owners. That's in the news. Mm-hmm. And that it's for domestic groups and civil unrest. That's unconstitutional under Posse Comitatus.
Well, I think one of the reasons that I have concerns about Homeland Security, as I said, it comes down to trust. And one of the things that doesn't instill trust in me is the chief of staff of Homeland Security was actually turned state witness and testified against his father-in-law, who was a state senator in Pennsylvania. And he was charged and went to prison for 137 counts of corruption. And Christian Marone, who's now the chief of staff of Homeland Security, worked for the senator, spent 80% of his time doing personal work for the senator, particularly overseeing construction projects on the senator's house. And a Philadelphia city councilman said that he basically turned over on his father-in-law to keep himself from going to jail.
So these are imperfect people that are in the system. That's why you've got to put restraints on it. Checks and balances.
And we're all imperfect, and that's the scary part. How much power do we want to give people who are imperfect? Especially someone like this who used as justification, well, it was, you know, the culture of Philadelphia politics. So.
Exactly. I mean, we didn't have military on the streets before in America because we understood that always turned bad. Why is it happening now? And we're not talking about during riots. Just roll them out, have them out there. Talk about why you originally went to the city council and warned people. And then I want to get your take on the NSA, on the IRS, because you've got an incredible list of things to talk about, Colonel.
Well, thanks. The thing that actually brought me to that city council meeting was one of my sons. One of his friends was a victim of police abuse. And in some of these police departments all over the country, but even in New Hampshire and some of these small towns, you get some bad apples. And the problem is that those bad apples, like in any industry, any organization, any bureaucracy, whether it's the IRS, the NSA, and so on, you've got these people who abuse their power. And so when people are victimized by people in power, it's a lot different than when somebody robbing you to take your wallet. These people have power and the authority of government behind them. And so I think institutions need to take a little bit of pride and step up themselves and police their own. And I'm shocked that nobody at the IRS has come forward. Somebody sat next to Lois Lerner. Somebody in some of these agencies was in the next cubicle and knew what was going on and still knows what's going on. And yet you don't see people coming forward and talking about it. So when you work for a government agency and people start broad brushing that agency and talking about it, they're talking about you. Same thing with our country. When people say negative things about the United States or they want to kill us or whatever, they're talking about you and me. The United States isn't some piece of dirt. It's not some monument, some building. It's you and me.
It's us.
It's we the people.
And that's why I do what I do. So I don't want it in my name.
Exactly. And so where are the people in these agencies? You know, where's the embarrassment? Where's the shame? Where's the sense of conscience to go out there and speak up and say something? And a lot of people are afraid of retaliation or losing their job. Well, go get another job. Look for one beforehand. Look for other.
Well, I found historically, but also personally, we're going to lose everything if we don't start standing up for what's right. This attitude of just go along, don't make waves, is going to cause a literal tsunami of tyranny to bring it all down.
And it all boils down to integrity. And that's one of the things that scares me, too, is the director of Homeland Security said that he was impressed with his new chief of staff's integrity. And so when we talk about integrity, I don't know what their definition is, but I thought it was interesting. You know, we talk about the integrity of the Department of Homeland Security. You know, here we are being told that the NSA needs to turn the whole planet into the Truman Show, and we're all Truman. And yet at the same time, we've got people walking across the border. You know, without any ID, just being shipped all over the country.
Borders wide open, yeah. But Homeland Security is for veterans, Tea Party, gun owners, libertarians. Just like you said a year ago, why are the armored vehicles for the Peaceful Free State Project? Exactly. It's a fraud. It's domestically being pointed at us, so we need to have a national debate about it and explain, hey, you better point that somewhere else.
And what it comes down to is the integrity of an organization by looking at its mission statement. And this is the part that I think is wrong with this country, is we've got all these lofty mission statements in all of our institutions, and yet if you look at the mission statement and try to follow that mission statement, you end up in trouble with your supervisors. You know, right from the Department of Homeland Security's website, there are five core missions: prevent terrorism and enhancing security, secure and manage our borders, enforce and administer our immigration laws, safeguard and secure cyberspace, ensure resilience to disasters. Now, they're acting contrary to at least three of those core mission statements. And so, you know, I'd like to challenge all those, you know, border folks down there. I know there's some good people down there who are trying to speak up, but, you know, people need to band together and stand up and start doing what's right. Point to your mission statement. If you're being told to do something that's contrary to that, you need to go up the chain of command until you find somebody who's willing to do something about it.
I saw an article just a few days ago in Reuters about them giving an award nationally to all the people in Operation Valkyrie that tried to kill Hitler. And they teach in the German military now, if somebody tells you to do something illegal or to violate people's rights, it's not a right, it's a duty to resist it. Well, that was taught in the past in our military manuals. I've seen the ones up until the 70s. I don't see that being taught now.
Exactly. I was in the Budapest airport one time, and I saw a display for cigarettes for sale, and they had multiple warning signs, you know, labels in multiple languages. And one of them, the one in English, said, "This product will kill you." I love that. Straight to the point, honest. Wouldn't it be nice if our politicians and our government agencies came with those same warning labels instead of the lofty ones that we come up with that are hypocritical?
Well, you get called an extremist for saying out of control government will kill you. George Washington basically said that. And they call that terrorism now.
Yeah, they're terrorists, but the bottom line is to them, they are not. Now, why is that important to understand? Because they are as committed to their cause and to their way of life as you are yours. And they see you as being wrong. Who was the first terrorist organization in the United States? Who?
Founding Fathers.
Founding Fathers. You mean Thomas Jefferson?
Oh, yeah.
You mean George Washington?
Oh, yeah.
Paul Revere? These guys right here, let me ask you something. Did they try to scare people?
Oh, yeah.
They tried to intimidate the British. Did they use acts of violence? Your founding fathers, my founding fathers, were involved in acts of terrorism against British officials because they systematically had British officials assassinated.
I mean, that is scary when the government is saying criticizing us and promoting what the country's founded on is extremist and connected to terrorism.
Yeah. Well, here's another great mission statement, and this is right out of the VA's website. VA's five core values underscore the obligations inherent in VA's mission: integrity, commitment, advocacy, respect, and excellence. The core values define who we are, our culture, and how we care for veterans. Taking the first letter of each word, integrity, commitment, advocacy, respect, and excellence, creates a powerful acronym, I Care. Come on. Why aren't people in prison right now? If anybody gave a damn that we've got over 1,000 veterans died because of being ignored.
Secret death list.
Yeah. And so meanwhile, though, the president seems to know more about the health care of a prisoner of war on the other side of the country or on the other side of the world who's been accused of being a deserter. And he couldn't notify Congress and give them the 30-day notice that by law, the law that he signed, he was obligated to do, released five known terrorists from Guantanamo Bay, which arguably could be treason because it's aiding and abetting the enemy, to get this one soldier back. And he couldn't tell anybody about it in Congress because his health was in such dire need.
Back on regular duty. You
know, he would probably have better health care while he was a prisoner of war. He's still alive 5 years later. We've got veterans who can't say the same thing.
Well, Joe Biggs right here in this office coughs up blood every night. He was blown up multiple times in armored vehicles. And he literally... they keep sending him to other meetings. And then the illegals come across, God bless them, They get free health care, but our veterans have had it turned off. Why do you think the system's doing that?
Well, I think that it comes down to we've got corruption at the highest levels of all of our institutions. And that's I think, the main point to get across. If you look at most of our institutions in this country, you've got people at the front lines who are honest, have integrity, they're doing their job, they're trying to live the mission statement. The VA has some of the most salt-of-the-earth people working there, the ones who are actually providing the care. But when you look at these corrupt bureaucrats who are making money on the blood of veterans by earning bonuses, by trying to falsify records to show what great care they're giving everybody, you know, somebody needs to send these people to prison, and it's just like blowing up the person's house. Next time, pay attention. It sends a message to everybody else in the neighborhood. Pay attention. If you punish somebody like a Lois Lerner or some of these folks, these bureaucrats and these other agencies that we know are corrupt, it would send a message to the rest of them. But that's the problem. And I think that until people in these organizations either band together or stand up and do like the Department of Homeland Security tells us all to do, you see something, say something. Of course, they don't want you to say something about the corruption you're finding in government. And they're more concerned about investigating those people who do speak out than what they're speaking out against.
And well, I tell you, Colonel, I agree. And the answer is all of us start speaking out. That's why you were saying before you went on air, look, I'm not a hero. Don't talk about my Bronze Star, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, in a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. George Orwell, you are a hero, and everybody inside the system that speaks out, and I know you've had some repercussions for speaking out, you are a hero. Because studies show that political valor, going up against peer pressure in the establishment, is more rare than physical valor.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. I think you're a hero. In fact, you know, one of the things I hear a lot, people, when they see a veteran, they'll say, oh, thank you for your service. I want to thank you for your service.
Oh, well, thank you. And, well, I'm just trying to have a free country for my kids.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I want to do, is try and turn over, you know, something to my kids that was turned over to me from my father and mother's generation.
Absolutely. It's an imperative that instinctively we stand against this. I mean, is that how you feel? It's just like a burning desire?
Yeah, I feel like the thing that scares me about this country is the same thing that scares Mike Mullen, Admiral Mullen, who is a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. This was the most senior man in uniform in our country who said the most significant threat to this country isn't terrorism, it's our debt.
Raising the debt ceiling, which has been done over 100 times, does not increase our debt. It does not somehow promote profligacy. All it does is it says you got to pay the bills that you've already racked up, Congress.
When our country collapses, what do people think is going to happen economically? I thought it was interesting that during the last government shutdown that they had a quote-unquote glitch in the EBT card system, where in about a dozen states, and I'm sure you remember it,
caused havoc.
It caused havoc because people's EBT cards didn't work. And a lot of Walmarts across the country, you know, had some serious problems. And I think that was to send a message to the people who did not want to sign that law to raise the debt ceiling. And it was, do you really want this to happen on your watch? Because this is what happens when people's EBT cards don't work for a few hours. What do you think is going to happen when Social Security recipients, people on disability, veterans, people, everybody who works for a government agency suddenly doesn't get their check? What do people, we're going to need those Bearcats. And that's really, you know, I don't have a problem with having Bearcats, because if they're going to collapse the government, and you're going to see riots in the streets if our economy collapses, then sure, people are going to be wishing they had more Bearcats. But
well, that's where I was going, and I want to hear
who's controlling those Bearcats. Who are the people at the top that are going to be giving those orders?
And we know it's going to be at the Tea Party, who knew about the problems and tried to stop it. It's going to be the Free Staters, who knew about the problems and tried to stop it. And that's the issue, is that I've said, as things collapse, and if Austin's burning, you know, where we're talking today, I would want the police to put down riots and protect my house. The issue is, though, the globalists lit the fuse of this. The Federal Reserve devalued the dollar. They moved the world away from the dollar. They did this, and they think they're going to bring in the crisis and get total social control out of it. Mm-hmm. They engineered it. Mm-hmm. So when it all collapses, which probably is inevitable now, probably too late to reverse it. Ron Paul said that on my show, and I agree with him. We tried years ago. The people that engineered this need to get the blame and go to prison so it doesn't happen again. Instead, we're going to end up with the engineers of this, who certainly exacerbated it, getting more power out of the crisis they created. You know, the old days, if you screwed up, you got fired or in trouble. Now they insulate themselves. So what I want to do, sir, because you're respectful and a nice guy, you keep throwing it back to me. I want to give you the floor now here for about 15, 20 minutes to get into all these incredible points that you bring up about the average Marine corporal. How much power do you want the president to have in the centralization of control? Government as a racket, Smedley Butler, Noam Chomsky. I want to give you the floor here to address the viewers out there, Colonel, and really talk to folks. Because I think in the final equation, what you're getting at here is, this is all a discussion we got to have with ourselves, our families, everybody else. This is a societal evolution. We're going into the bottom of a decadence cycle. And if good men and women don't get on deck to try to really have a soft landing, who knows where the world is going. So I want to give you the floor here to basically do 10, 15 minute, 20 minute speech, whatever you want, to the viewers out there and the listeners out there.
Going back to the integrity issue, here's another mission statement from our IRS. Provide America's taxpayers top quality service by helping them understand and meet their tax responsibilities, enforce the law with integrity and fairness to all. So when it comes to what does integrity look like, if you look at our leadership, it's really shameful. Our people deserve better than that. Our veterans deserve better than that. Our citizens deserve better than that. We've had wars on poverty, drugs, the war on terrorism, and we're losing all of them. But we never see a war on corruption, a war on abuse of power, and a war on ignorance. Not illiteracy, but ignorance about what really goes on in this country. And I think, Alex, you do a great job of really, you've hit it right on the head, InfoWars. It's all about controlling information. And, you know, people just don't get the facts. They don't get the information. They don't really know what's going on out there. And so I think that a war on ignorance is about teaching people, you know, how vulnerable they really are toward mind control, manipulation, and so on. I read years ago that there was actually a psychology professor, of all people, whose class decided to do an experiment on him. And when he moved to the left side of the classroom, they all perked up and looked interested. When he moved to the right side of the classroom, they all looked bored and nodding off. And by the end of a few classes, he was teaching the entire class leaning against the left side of the wall on the left side of the classroom. And when this is the interesting part, though. When the students told him that they had manipulated him and that they put him there, he outright refused to believe it. He said that, no, I just like it over here better. And I think that's what's going on in this country. And the real, the cure for, or the way to inoculate people against manipulation, against mind control, against influence, is to simply educate them about the process of how it's done. And the real key is to get people to be willing to listen to other sides of an issue and stop being convinced that there are only two sides. The government obviously keeps everybody fighting against each other over distraction issues like abortion, gay rights, you name it. If everybody could just take a break for one election cycle, all these one-issue voters out there, and just make the one-issue corruption. And regardless of where your politicians stand on your particular issue, you know, if you can't trust them, then why are they your poster child? Why would you want to send somebody to Washington who is lied to your face? If you were an employer and an employee lied to you, stole from you, how long would they last? If you had a neighborhood watch, would you give all the weapons to the one person in the neighborhood who lies to everybody, who you can't trust, who's actually stolen from people? And so that's one of the things that concerns me. And I think it's really that war on ignorance and really reminding people or educating people as to just how much corruption has gone on in this country. One of the solutions, I think, to fight this war on corruption, and I see all the time out there on the internet, there's a lot of people out there who talk about taking up arms against the government and, you know, starting a new revolution. Well, you know, I don't think we're ready for that yet. I don't think that that's the way to do it. I think that the war really needs to be about corruption. And the way I would fight a war nowadays, if I were to go try and take over a country, I wouldn't send battalions of troops over. I'd send battalions of students, journalists, business people, politicians, teachers, and so on. And I would have them go into all those organizations within that country. And it really comes down to a battle of ideas over the water cooler. Have discussions. Let the best ideas rise to the top. And really it's about educating people. It's about doing the right thing. And I think that if people really want to fight for this country, if you work for a government agency, you need to step up. And you need to look around, read your mission statement. If you're acting in conflict to that, then do something about it. If you're told not to, then go to your supervisor, go to your supervisor's supervisor. Until the time comes when enough people band together to turn some of these agencies around and we start demanding that people be held accountable. One of the things that bothers me about abuse of power is it causes so much damage. When you kill or abuse one innocent person, it creates 10 new enemies. And I think that's what we do with this global war on terrorism. I think that's what we do with a lot of our police departments out there. You know, you always have that 10% in any organization that we talk about as, you know, the ones that are the problem children. But the reality is a lot of times it's more than 10%. And in our government agencies, you know, that other 90% needs to, you know, clean up their house. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of times I think that 10% is at the top. So it's going to be hard. Another thing that I think might be a small first step is, wouldn't it be nice if somebody would sponsor a bill and we passed a law to add the oath to tell the truth to the oath of office? And what that would mean is, basically, anytime a politician or a government bureaucrat who takes an oath of office is speaking publicly or representing their office, whether it's to the people or the media, that they're under oath and that they're subject to the laws of perjury, subject to the penalty of perjury. And why don't we have mandatory sentences? And so I think if we could just clean up our politicians and bureaucrats, it's a small step because, you know, I'm sure they'd work around you know, lying to us. Maybe they'd just shut up, which wouldn't be a bad thing either. I'd rather have them not say anything than to just lie to us. But eventually organizations, whether it's a military organization or unit, a company, a corporation, a bureaucracy or a country, eventually organizations take on the qualities and characteristics of their leaders. There's an old saying that an army of deer led by a lion is more to be feared than an army of lions led by a deer. And if you look at the people who are leading us, where are they taking us? When you look at some of the qualities of our leaders, we need to take a closer look of who's representing you. These are the people who represent us around the world. We had an ambassador to Belgium who was an accused pedophile. And there was an internal memo that was found or became public a while back that said that Howard Gutman would frequently try to ditch his security detail and solicit sex from prostitutes and minor children. And yet the investigation into that was quashed by high-level members in the State Department. Secretary of State Clinton at the time said that the first she heard about it was in the media. Now, my question is, okay, well, once you did finally hear about it, what did you do about it? Doesn't it concern anybody that the one person who's representing the entire United States to the people of Belgium could be molesting their kids? Mr. President, you're telling me that that's the best person you could find to be an ambassador for us, to represent us? Jeffrey Toobin said that Gutman was a Washington super lawyer who bought his ambassadorship through massive contributions to the Obama campaign. And Mr. President, you couldn't find a Secretary of State out of all the qualified people in this country who wouldn't have to read it in the newspaper that one of our ambassadors could be a child molester? Another thing that I'm curious about is, you know, these ambassadors that are political appointees, it's interesting that they never seem to end up in places like Benghazi or things like that. And if they did, I wonder if we'd spend more money to protect them or maybe make more of an effort to protect them if they were in danger.
What difference at this point does it make?
It continues to come back to trust. And if you look at our politicians, you can go all the way back or as far back as you want to look at lies that have been told to the American public. And, you know, Herbert Hoover said that the economy was great and everything was wonderful. And a week later, the stock market crashed and we entered the Great Depression. President Kennedy said that we weren't conducting any type of, you know, operations or anything against Cuba. The next day, an American pilot was shot down over Cuba. President Johnson lied to us about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, and that was highly classified. It was only recently that top secret documents were released that confirmed what a lot of people knew, and that was that the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a lie, and it was just used to justify going to war in Vietnam. And how many thousands of people died over that war? If somebody at the time had informed people about that, that would have been a violation of their top secret clearance, and they'd be in a prison cell today, or maybe sharing a room in Russia with Edward Snowden. We've also had Ronald Reagan, who said we did not trade arms for hostages. Bill Clinton, I did not have sex with that woman. And for those who say that, you know, a politician's sex life shouldn't matter, I agree to a point. But the problem is, if President Clinton was willing to lie to his own cabinet, to the entire country, about his sexual relationships that he did not want made public, what else would he have done if one of our enemies found out about that? And maybe they did, who knows, but how much pressure could those people put on him to do things? If you're trying to hide something like that, look at all of our politicians out there who may have some of these skeletons in their closet. And so, lies are lies. When you look at President Bush, I will not
read my lips. No new taxes.
Read my lips. No new taxes. We also heard from his son about weapons of mass destruction.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
President Obama, you can keep your insurance. You can keep your doctor. Noam Chomsky once said that the reason that a lot of governments classify information isn't necessarily to keep it from their enemies, who in many cases already know, but it's to keep it from their own people. General Smedley Butler, the only Marine to be awarded the Medal of Honor twice, wrote a book, War is a Racket, and I know you're familiar with it, Alex. But after World War One, Smedley Butler did some research and found that that war created over 21,000 billionaires and millionaires during a time when the frontline troops were being paid $30 a month. And he said that the key to ending war would be simple. Take the profit out of it. He said if you conscripted labor, capital, anything that's needed for the war effort and paid CEOs, politicians, generals, admirals, everybody on down, the same thing that the private fighting the war is being paid, announced that 30 days ahead of time, and he said there'll be no war. And it's curious, I'd be curious to see how long the war on terrorism would last if CEOs of some of these defense contractors, private security companies were making $15,000 or $1,500 a month instead of eight-figure salaries in some cases. And that's another concern, is the privatization of the military. What we're seeing is that in the past, a lot of these government contractors in the military-industrial complex provided materials and equipment to fight our wars. Huge profiteering was taking place. But nowadays, we're not only these companies are providing materials to fight the wars, but people themselves. A lot of our support troops are slowly being replaced by private contractors, people from other countries, even third world countries in some cases. And so these folks are actually out there on the battlefield. If you look at what happened in Fallujah, the whole thing that sparked that, if it wasn't for four Blackwater employees getting killed and dragged through the streets of Fallujah, nobody would have ever even heard of that city. And some of the questions to ask are, what were they doing there? Why weren't they adequately prepared? Even though the CEO of the company may have been making eight figures a year, what was the amount of that money that was trickling down to be able for these people to actually do their job safely? And I think the message that was being sent to the Iraqi people is, hey, those people need to get the same respect our military does. Don't mess with them or we're going to mess back. How many Marines were killed in that first Battle of Fallujah before the president pulled them out and then went back in and fought a second battle over the same ground, only to lose the entire country now to the very people we said we were going there to fight who weren't even there when we got there. I think if General Butler were alive today, he'd conclude that government is a racket. If you look at what's destroying this country, it's all the corruption. The reason we've got a $17 trillion debt is because of all the money that's been looted from our government, from the taxpayer, all the promises that were made to my parents' generation for Social Security and so on. You know, that money's been raided. That money's gone. You know, now that it's time to start paying those bills and to start paying those people what they were promised, that money's not there.
And if there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans and everybody in between, it's that we all hated the bank bailout.
I think the question that people need to ask themselves is how much power and authority do you really want your leaders to have? And when the President of the United States claims the authority to be able to kill an American citizen anywhere in the world, anytime, just by declaring them a terrorist without any due process, that should concern people. And I think it concerns a lot of people, but apparently not enough to do anything about it. When the most powerful person in the Senate calls an American citizen a terrorist, a domestic terrorist, like he did with Clive and Bundy, over a dispute about grazing fees, an issue that's going on in courts, an issue that involves money and so on, and declares him a terrorist, you know, what message is he saying? I mean, he's basically telling the President of the United States, hey, here's one over here. Does that mean that the president is now going to, you know, send in a drone and kill Clive and Bundy or some other people? And so I think that's something that people need to pay attention to. If you think it's okay for the President of the United States to be able to kill you and you can sleep at night with that, then, hey, that's fine. But think about the crop of politicians here that are running for president. Think about the politicians in the opposite political party that you might belong to. You know, did you want George W. Bush to have the authority to kill you? Did you want President Bill Clinton to have the power to kill you? Do you want President Obama to have the power to kill you? Do you want any of these candidates that are running for president to have the power to kill you? And that's something that everybody needs to take a real sobering look at. Do you really want your president to have the authority to kill you? Because that's what it comes down to. When you're saying, well, yeah, he can go kill a terrorist. Well, I'm not a terrorist, so I don't have anything to worry about. And it's just like the people say, well, if you don't have anything to hide, you shouldn't care or have anything to worry about that the NSA is monitoring every aspect of your life. And it's not that you have anything to hide. It's not that you're doing anything wrong. But the problem is, you know, people get the wrong message out of 1984. It's really about finding people's fears, finding people's weaknesses so they can be exploited. You know, maybe you're very close to a certain person or a certain relative. Maybe you didn't do anything wrong, but maybe they did, and now they can use that to get to you. And so we shouldn't be under this level of surveillance. And it's total hypocrisy to try and tell the American people that we need this level of surveillance on our entire population because the threat is so significant. And yet at the same time, the very agency, the Department of Homeland Security, that's trying to put the fear into everybody, that's trying to terrorize the American people into believing that there's a terrorist around every corner and that your local police department needs to have an armored military vehicle in order to deal with it. When at the same time, we've got people walking across our borders unchecked, not only unchecked, but assisted by our own government and being shipped all over the country. This is a biological attack. We've got diseases. We've got people who are literally walking biological weapons being sent all around the country. And if that's not impeachable offenses, if this isn't even treason, then I'm not sure what is. You know, the average Marine corporal has more integrity, I think, than all of Washington. And they swore an oath to defend the Constitution, not the country, not the government, not even their families, but the Constitution, the ideas that are in there. If you're one of those people who always says to a veteran, hey, thank you for your service. If you want to thank a veteran, get a copy of the Constitution, read it. Help defend it here at home. Demand that your politicians read the Constitution and start to live by it and vote by it. They deserve better. I think maybe that's why the Homeland Security sees veterans as a threat, because they know what's in the Constitution. When I was a battalion commander, the very first thing I did was issue everybody in my battalion a copy of the Constitution, a pocket version, and told them to carry it with them all the time.
I want to thank Colonel Pete Martino for doing what he's doing, standing up, being a man, fighting here in the Republic, here in the homeland, against the takeover we see unfolding. And I want to talk to all you out there. Remember,
that whether you are a Marine Corps colonel with a Bronze Star, whether you're a school teacher, whether you're an auto mechanic, black, white, old, young, Hispanic, I don't care. Muslim, Christian, Jew, agnostic. Liberty beats in the breast of every man and woman out there who's not evil. And most of us are not evil inherently. We just are ignorant. And we've been afraid to stand up and be leaders. We're going to lose everything, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't stand up and speak out now and get back to the basic American values that made this country so great and made our nation the model of the world. So, Colonel, I salute you and your wife for coming to Austin to talk to us. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Alex. Pleasure. Anytime.
All right, folks. Again, never forget, if you're watching or listening to this transmission, you are the resistance.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.